Today we are continuing our foundation series. At the beginning of the series we talked about this is the year of what?
Freedom, okay.
So somebody say freedom? Freedom, okay. This is the year of freedom in 2018, and we're going to be asking God to give us freedom in every single aspect of our life. Not just one aspect. You might want one, I want it for everything for all of you, okay? And so a couple weeks ago we talked about the importance of prayer. We had a great time praying together here. That was just really a moment I will never forget. It was just a great in all three services. Last week, Pastor Josh preached about the Bible and the importance of the Word of God in your everyday life. And I got to tell you, just being overseas at that particular time, somebody was Facebook Living it. I was watching, and it was just a great to see what God is doing here. In fact, it was a really important moment for me as your pastor, being away, knowing that everything here was completely okay. In other words, it was great. In other words, I could die and everything would be fine. Okay, so I'm good. Yeah, it was great for me just to recognize that God is at work here, and that I feel like we're growing up. We're almost 17 years old as a church. We can drive now. We got our license. You know, we're almost 17. We just got to stay out of trouble now. Okay, that's the thing. So today we are going to talk about something that I absolutely come to believe is one of the most important things I teach about every year. It's a subject that is so easily misunderstood, and a subject that has all kinds of cultural strings on it that just make it complicated sometimes. Talk about, but one of the things that I desire for each and every person in this ministry is that all of you become financially free, that you experience freedom in your finances. And I know how to do that. I do. I know how to be financially free, and I know how to help you be financially free. The Word of God talks about money a lot. In fact, it's one of the things in the Bible that is talked about the most, is finances or wealth or income, giving, all these different categories. Bible talks about money a lot. And we don't talk about it as much as the Bible does, but we talk about it a couple times a year. And so I want you to pay attention today. I want you to glean as much as you possibly can and apply as much of this as you possibly can as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says this. It says, "So Moses told the people, you must be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, following his instruction in every detail." What kind of detail are they supposed to follow?
Every.
Every is important. "Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy." Love that right there. Long and what kind of lives? Prosperous lives. Today we're talking about prosperity. I want you to own that verse. God wants you to live prosperous lives. For real. Prosperous lives. There's a lot of things that are involved with prosperity. Money, but not just money. A lot of things are involved in prosperity. God wants you to live prosperous lives, and so do I. I got to tell you, I've been broke, and I've been not broke. Being not broke is better. Living in prosperity is better than not living in prosperity. And I want to make sure that each of you have been given the opportunity to live in a spirit of prosperity. The first thing you absolutely have to do is you must reject the spirit of poverty. Tell your neighbor, reject the spirit of poverty. So today I have a very clear objective: to help you reject any spirit of poverty that's lingering in your life and to begin thinking and acting with a prosperous spirit. If I can move you forward a little bit in this area, it will be a tremendous value. First, you have to prepare yourself. You have to prepare yourself. Have you ever noticed nobody likes to prepare themselves? You just want to go to the Super Bowl and win. Nobody wants to do what it takes, right? You got to work. What does Belichick says, the people that practice the hardest win? And I don't know if that's in the Bible or not, but Belichick said it. They are. Sometimes preparing yourself requires you to reset your thinking, to reset it. You have to recognize that your street thinking may have gotten you so far, but it's not going to take you to prosperity. Maybe you survived, but it won't help you to gain all that God has for you. If you found, for example, let me just ask you a hard question today. If you found the house of your dreams at a reasonable price, would you be able to purchase it? Now, that's not the ultimate test case, because not everybody wants to have a house. Right? That's not, but a lot of people do. And if you find yourself in a spot where you're like, I can't even imagine being able to ever buy a house, then maybe we could notch it up a little bit here. Maybe we could increase our understanding of what it means to live with a prosperous spirit. A few years ago, when the housing market crashed, it gave many people an opportunity to stop and to purchase a home, because there had been people that had been preparing themselves to be able to purchase a home. And they did so because they had a financial plan and they were simply able to follow through with it. Now, that's just an example. It could be 100 other things. You can prepare yourself. One of the ways you can prepare yourself is to prepare yourself in prayer, to reject and overcome the spirit of poverty. The spirit of poverty can take up residence in both poor people and in rich people. Rich people can have a spirit of poverty, and so can poor people. Part of the prayer that you're doing to reject the spirit of poverty will be, as you're praying, you are learning a biblically sound financial plan, and your prayers will help you implement that plan. Prayer, planning, and action are required to live in prosperity. There is a significant amount of financial instruction in the Bible, almost more than anything else. And the reason it's so much is because money is so dangerous. It can be a tool for good, or it can be a tool for evil. And so it's extremely dangerous. Wherever you are at today, I want you to know that regardless of where you have been in your life, it is not too late to reject a spirit of poverty and to replace it with a spirit of prosperity. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, look, I don't got enough years left in my life to worry about this. You do, because you have people downline from you. You have people that you influence, perhaps as kids or grandkids, or perhaps it's people that you love or things that you want to invest into. You can still make a difference. Shortly after my first daughter was born, I was at a super nice wedding. And during the middle of this beautiful wedding reception, I began to have some anxiety in my life. And I started to get a little bit of nervousness. I started sweating a lot during this beautiful wedding. Why? Because I realized that I had not made a plan for how to pay for my own daughter's wedding. Now she was like 2 months old or something, okay? So give me a break. But I had not thought about it until that exact moment. And some of you, I just gave anxiety because you've never thought about it before. So I made a plan right there on the spot. Step number one, daughter cannot get married till 40 years of age. Check. So I'm like, whoo. So instead of burying my head in the sand and pretending like that day would never come, I had to pause and make a plan. Just had to make the plan and follow it through. So I want to challenge you today to pray and to prepare yourself. Part of the preparation here is to also increase your financial knowledge with biblically wise financial understanding. Some of you, you've survived to this point in your life just by kind of winging it, and you kind of figured some things out this way or that way, and you just kind of showed up here on a Sunday morning, and you're like, "Woo, I got through another week." It's time to stop getting through another week. It's time to start living in prosperity. For real, God wants you to live prosperous lives. You don't need to be broke every day of your life. But this is going to require you to change your thinking, to put into your life biblically wise financial understanding. So don't stop learning. You have to keep on learning. Maybe you learn one thing, that's okay, now it's time to learn another, and then another, and then another, until you're awesome at this. One of the steps that you need to take is to have no more negative prophecies. Do not listen to negative prophecies about yourself and never speak negative prophecies about yourself. Here's a negative prophecy. I can't do this. I'm too poor. Stop it already. I don't know how. You will. I don't have enough. I could never. I can't give. I can't succeed. How could I do that? I only make this tiny amount of money. I can't get a job. Nobody would hire me. All of these things are lies from the devil. They are negative prophecies that we speak about ourselves or that we listen to other people speak about us. They are all things to be rejected and never to be part of your life again. Every time you say things like that, you are inviting a spirit of poverty to rule over your finances. And you don't want poverty to rule over your finances. Let me say it in the street version of this. Maybe you live in the ghetto, but that doesn't mean you need to be ghetto. You can be more than where you live. So, I knew that would work better in the second service. I knew that would work better. So, reject a spirit of poverty. Reject a spirit of greed. And embrace a spirit of prosperity. So how do you walk in a spirit of prosperity? You invite God to teach you to walk this way. You invite God to teach you how to walk with a spirit of prosperity. What does the Bible say? And you begin to do it. You do God's plan, God's way. Some people get God's way, but they make up their own plan, and other people get God's plan, but they make up their own way. You got to do God's plan, God's way. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. Nehemiah is one of my favorite guys in the Bible. He says this. He's trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He's been tasked by God to do this. He says, O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success now. Please grant me success now. You're allowed to pray that for yourself. Please grant me success now. As I go to ask the king for a great favor, put it in his heart to be kind to me. Nehemiah prayed. He prayed for success or a prosperous spirit. And I want you to get this. Prayer is critical in the development of a prosperous spirit. If you're not praying in this area, you may be gaining wealth, but you're not gaining prosperity, and there is a difference. There is this idea that we see what we are familiar with. If you are familiar with something, you tend to see it wherever you go. And you can see these things in prayer. God births these things in your spirit while you are praying. You become familiar with them in prayer. You become familiar with what it means to have a prosperous spirit in prayer. And then you will begin to notice it in your everyday life. And you'll be like, oh, there it is. This is the path I'm supposed to go down because I saw this in my prayer. This is a similar principle to the new car principle. Have you ever noticed that when you get a new car or a used car, but it's new to you, all of a sudden you notice that there's a lot of other cars around exactly like yours, but you did not notice it until you had it. It wasn't until you were familiar with it that you became aware of it so often. Like, I had no idea that the whole world had a white Honda CRV. Like, you know, I had no idea. You know, it just feels like that. All of a sudden they're everywhere. Now that you have one, you're familiar with it, but you couldn't even notice it before. You were unable to notice how many of them there were until you were familiar with it. Praying with God about prosperity allows you to become familiar with something that heaven desires for you. And when you become familiar with what heaven desires for you, you see it on the earth. And you are able to even bring it to earth as needed. When we are not familiar with something, it's very easy to miss God's provision because we're simply not looking for it. Prayer keeps us familiar with God's prosperity so we are familiar with how to walk in prosperity. So you keep your eyes and heart in expectant mode. And when God begins to move, then you are able to quickly respond. We are only going to see what we are ready and watching for. If you are not ready for prosperity, if you are not watching for prosperity, you will not get prosperity. The backstory on this passage with Nehemiah is that Nehemiah was praying for this wall of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. I just happen to have a picture of that wall. So this is the wall. It's not very impressive right now because it was like thousands of years ago. But they just recently excavated this portion of the wall. You can't tell from the picture, but it's 21 feet wide, 8 feet tall. And that is just a fraction of what the wall used to be when Nehemiah rebuilt it. Nehemiah had rebuilt this exact wall. Now, notice that in the prayer, Nehemiah did not pray. This is a critical part of prayer. Nehemiah did not say, "Oh God, please rebuild the wall." Just think about that for a second. How many times in your prayer life have you asked God to do something that you're supposed to do? He did not say, "God, please rebuild the wall." He simply prayed and asked God for an opportunity to rebuild the wall. "God, would you let me rebuild that wall? Would you help me find the things that I need to rebuild this wall? Would you give me success in this endeavor to rebuild the wall?" All the time, he is rebuilding the wall, not God. A spirit of prosperity requires us to be willing to be used by God. We are willing to be used by God. A spirit of poverty desires God to be used by us. "Oh God, will you do this? Oh God, will you do that? Oh God, will you do this? Oh God, will you do that?" The whole time he's like, "I already told you to do that." You have to shift your thinking. You have to shift your prayer to move from poverty to prosperity. So how do you act with a prosperous spirit? You've rejected a spirit of poverty. You're walking in a spirit of prosperity. How do you now act with a prosperous spirit? And there's three simple keys to beginning the prosperity journey. I've taught about this for years. I will continue to teach about it for years. This is the entryway into walking in prosperity. Step number one. Well, just the overview is 10-10-80, right? Somebody say 10-10-80. Okay, that means 10%, 10%, 80%. This is how this works. This is how this, it will always be the case. If you want to get started on this, this is where you get started. If you don't and you want to stay walking in poverty, that is up to you. So step number one, 10% is called tithing. Throughout the Bible, we see this theme that God invites us into a relationship, well, watch this, where we trust God and God prospers us. We trust God, he prospers us. One of the significant areas of trust is what the Bible calls the tithe. The word tithe is a biblical word. It literally means 10%. In the history of Israel, there were these moments where the people of God would abandon God, his laws, his paths, his principles, and it would ultimately lead to their destruction. Yet God in his mercy would always call them back to himself. Now, in one of these moments, where the people have returned to God, it's with Nehemiah. Nehemiah has successfully rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and is calling the people back to God. The people make a promise or a vow. And this is the promise or vow that they make. Nehemiah leads them in this. It says, "We promise to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple year after year." This is called first fruits. It's different than tithing. "Whether it be a crop from the soil or from our fruit trees. We agree to give God our oldest sons and the firstborn of all of our herds and flocks as prescribed in the law. We will present them to the priest who minister in the temple of our God. We will store the produce in the storerooms of the temple of our God. We will bring the best of our flour and other grain offerings, the best of our fruit and the best of our new wine and olive oil. And we promise to bring to the Levites a tenth of everything our land produces, for it is the Levites who collect the tithe in all the rural towns. A priest, a descendant of Aaron, will be with the Levites as they receive these tithes. A tenth of all that is collected as tithes will be delivered by the Levites to the temple of our God and placed in the storerooms. The people and Levites must bring these offerings of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms and place them in the sacred containers near the ministering priest, the gatekeepers, and the singers. We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God." It's very interesting to me that there's this clear connection that the people themselves recognized of returning to God, including a clear act of financial commitment to God. The financial commitment, now watch this, is a physical act. It's a free will act of trusting God. It's how you, in essence, prove that you are trusting God. It's inviting God. Also, this is why we talk about it first, not last, in the 10-10-80 principle. It's the act of inviting God to supernaturally be involved in your future prosperity. This is not a natural thing. This is a supernatural thing. The biblical principle is still in operation today. We give God the first 10% of our income, and God takes the other 90% and blesses us beyond what we could ever do on our own. This is the principle behind the tithe. In the Scripture, it tells us how much to give. The starting point is 10%. It's not the ending point, it's the beginning point. And it also tells us where to give it. The 10% is to be given in the local place of worship. For example, if you are visiting here today and you are part of another congregation, another church, that is your local place of worship, and you tithe there. For those that this is their local place of worship, this is where you tithe. That's 10% right off the top. God takes care of the rest. That's the idea behind it, okay? Again, that's just the beginning. This is the entry-level path. The second area of the second 10 is called investment. Somebody say investment. Investment. For years, I've taught this 10-10-80 principle. First 10% to God, second 10% for investment, retirement, etc. This is not where you should end. This is where you should start. What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, it says a lot about investment. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." To put it into modern context, don't spend everything you have. Put some aside and save it up for the future. That's the idea here. You've got to start somewhere, and you've got to start sometime. A little bit saved today will be a lot saved in the future. Think about it, like, when's the best time to start saving? Well, 20 years ago was the best time to start. But you may as well start today. You may as well start today. I don't know if you know this, but I've been on the I'm on the board of a company called Thrivent. It is a Christian it's a Christian financial company. It's a Christian financial planning company. And they're on the Fortune 500. It's a massive company, $9 billion, more than $9 billion in assets. That's a lot of money, by the way, $9 billion. I can't even get my head around that. And I am the only person like myself on the board. And there's a reason that they wanted me on the board, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is why I wanted to be on the board. I wanted to be on the board so that I could help this mega wealthy company begin to teach people and to assist people in greater financial prosperity, people that they might not normally think about, people from lower income communities and stuff like that. So that's why I'm on the board, helping to kind of call their attention to assist those that perhaps have not had access to them before. I believe that this is a critical part of your life. I want you to make sure that your kids and your grandkids are going to be fine financially. I want to make sure that you get to live well all the days of your life. I believe that for you. And again, this is just all entry-level stuff. Okay, you can go way beyond this. You can go further and reach for the stars on this. But you got to get started somewhere. The last one is the 80%. This is just what you live on. Okay, this is what you live on. And some of you are like, oh my goodness, I can't live on the 100% that I have. How am I only supposed to live on 80%? Well, that's one of the opportunities that you get, is to figure out how to live on the 80%. You've got to make changes in your life as needed to live within the percentage of your income. Let me give you an idea on this for a moment. Sometimes people will come in and talk to me about some of these financial strategies and financial things, and they'll kind of expose their financial situation. And one of the things that I'll point out to them as well, you're spending a lot of money on things that you don't need in your life. Like, how many cups of coffee do you need to buy from Dunkin' Donuts, for example, right? Like, you'd think I'd ask them to, like, sacrifice their children, okay, or something. Or, you know, that cell phone, you don't actually need it. Oh, my goodness. People are like, what? How could I give that up? Well, like, do you want to be broke or do you not want to be broke? It's not my life, it's yours. I know what I had to do to get to where I'm at. And I know that there were a lot of sacrifices that had to be made. And then when you get there, you can start to redirect your thinking and you can redirect some of those resources. There are a lot of other things we could talk about as well. But the point is, you can figure it out. You remove unnecessary expenses. One of my favorite things to encourage people to do is invite God to increase your income. You can do that. You can say, hey, God, you know, can I get a raise, please? I've been working really hard. I've been honoring you. I've had integrity in all that I do. Would you cause those above me to recognize this? Pray. You're missing out on a great opportunity if you're not. Invite God to give you more capacity and more creativity. Quickly, get out of debt. Get out of debt as quickly as you possibly can. And let me teach you this. I've taught it to you before, but you've got to be willing to go and pick up the blessings that God gives you. If God gives you a blessing, don't leave it on the ground. Pick it up. This is the principle of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth and Boaz, the country was going through a famine. Her husband died. Everybody was in really tough shape. And so in Israel at the time, there was this thing called gleaning, which is in the farms. The workers would go through and they would pick the crops, or they'd pick the barley or the wheat. And if there was anything left behind, the gleaners could come by and pick up the leftovers. Okay. Now notice a few things about this story. When Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her. Pull out some heads of barley from your bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up, and don't give her a hard time." So Ruth gathered barley all the day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. Well, a few things I want you to notice there. One, God provided for Ruth through Boaz, but in order for her to get that provision, she had to work for it. It didn't just get handed to her. Nobody gave it to her. She had to go pick up the barley and put it in. She had to go do all the stuff to make it for her to use. She had to work for it. God provided. God had Boaz drop it on the ground. She had to go get it. So often, what in our culture we have come to expect is that somebody else will do the work for you. That's not how this works. If you want God's prosperity, you go to work. She worked, and then she worked some more. She worked hard. She worked with integrity. She worked with purpose. That's how we are to work as well. Others of you have mastered this. You're good on this area. You have this 10-10-80 thing down. Now it's time to ask yourself, what else can I do? Maybe it's 11-11-78. Maybe it's 12-12-76. You know, whatever it is. Maybe it's time to move forward on this. Some of you, it's time to ask yourself the question, how much is enough in my life? Do I really need 7 houses, or is 4 okay? Where can I draw a line in the sand? Now, don't get me wrong at all. I want all of you to have awesome stuff. I want you to have great stuff. I want you to live in prosperity and all that that includes. I really want that for you. But once you get that, there is a moment in your life where you have to say, I don't need more of this awesome stuff. I have enough. And you draw a line in the sand, and this is why you do it. In order to let God turn you into a blessing machine, so that you are just blessing people, to change lives in a greater manner than you've ever been able to do before. Wouldn't it be something if right here in the cities of Lynn and Revere, God raised up a group of people that were so God-honoring with their finances that God couldn't help but bless them so they could continue to be a blessing to others? I can imagine a time when we are the most financially capable group of people in our cities. For real. You will be financially wise and prosperous in all that you do. Now, you might look at me and say, Pastor Kurt, you're just being ridiculous now. That's just ridiculous. Can I tell you something? I have believed a lot of ridiculous things in my life. And with God, most of them have come true. So I will continue to believe this for you. Maybe you don't financially believe in yourself, but I do. I financially believe in you. I believe that God wants you to have a spirit of prosperity. I believe that as you honor and obey God in this area of your life, that you will see your financial prosperity increase. And I believe that this will happen so much that others will look at you and see that you are a city on a hill, that you are being blessed by God because the spirit of prosperity has been cultivated in you. You see, you are creating a legacy for our cities that will last until Jesus returns. As the worship team comes, let me remind you that you're doing this for your kids, for your grandkids, for your community. You are experiencing financial freedom with your finances. We want to see that God will do it through you, not that God will do it for you. Let me say it again. We want to see that God will do it through you, not that God will do it for you. There are so many areas that we can grow in this. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, it says, the king asked, how can I help you? And with a prayer to the God of heaven, Nehemiah replied. And what he did was he asked for permission to go to the city and rebuild it and to have all the supplies that he needed provided. And the king granted all of those requests, and the gracious hand of God was upon Nehemiah. God loves to be involved even in this area of your life. And I would like all of us to make sure that we have invited him into this area of our life. Ask yourself some hard questions. Are you developing a spirit of prosperity? Are you responding to the true vision God has given you, or have you settled for something else? Sometimes we settle in life because we can't see how, or we get tired, or we get sloppy, or we get too proud, or we become unwilling to forgive, or we settle because we're unable to set aside personal preferences for the sake of recruiting others, of rescuing others. Sometimes we settle because we have failed and we don't want to go through the restoration or the hassle of starting over. But I still dare to believe for all of us that we will all develop a spirit of prosperity. See, I want to develop a spirit of prosperity. I want to tell stories when I get old of seeing people's lives be changed and of bringing hope to hopeless people. I want to tell stories of seeing the sick healed and the abandoned cared for and the healthy given new purpose. I want to say that I was more generous in the last half of my life than I was in the first half of my life. I want to say that I was more loving this year than I was last year. I want to say I was more compassionate this week than I was last week. I want to say that I never ran out of vision because it was constantly increasing. I want to say I was more generous, more giving, more willing for God to bless through me than I have ever been. I want to walk in supernatural prosperity and bless those around me, and I want this for all of you as well. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you all to do something right now. In a moment, the worship team is going to lead us. If you have your wallet or your purse today, don't worry, we're not going to take an offering, all right? Fine. If you have your wallet or purse today, if you have a dollar, can you just take it out? I'm going to have you write something on it, okay? Just take it out. I'm going to have you write something on it. If If you don't carry dollars, you just carry Benjamins, that's okay. Pull it out. Just write, you can write on it too. Here's what I want you to do. If you don't have dollars, like write it on a credit card, the back of your hand, it doesn't matter. Each and every one of you in the room is in a different place with this. Some of you, your challenge is learning how to live within your means. Like that 80% number, you got to figure that out. Others of you, you only think about the now and you don't think about the future. And you need to start planning for the future. Others of you, you've never thought about inviting God into your financial life. And it's time for you to start to tithe. Whatever it is, there's an area that you need to grow in. There's an area you need to focus on. I want you, as the worship team leads us in a song, I want you to write that down on the back of that dollar. Don't spend that one. Just put it back in your wallet. And remind yourself that you're working on that area. And then I'll come back up and pray in just a moment. And now, Father, I ask that you will help us, each and every one, to reject every spirit of poverty in any area of our life, to embrace the truth that you desire for us all to live prosperous lives. And God, would you help us to walk in the path that you have for us? Help us to not go to the left or the right of it, but to follow the exact path and plan that you have for us. Help us to grow in this area of our life, to increase in this area of our life. And may we find ourselves looking back a year from now or 2 years from now so much further than we are today, because we have continued to follow you, we've continued to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless. Love you guys. Have a great week. Have a great week.